Captain.
Good evening, miss. I wonder whether you care to sit at my table for dinner.
I'd love to. Thank you, Captain.
Good. See you later, then.
Oh, hello, Captain.
Good evening, miss. I just wanted to ask you if you'd save me $3 or $4 this evening.
Of course, Captain.
Good. See you later, then.
Why, hello, Captain. What is it this time?
You're nothing, I just wondered if you'd like me to show you the engine room.
Not just the dawn.
And shall we say midnight?
I'll be there.
Good. See you later. Oh, my word. I can see I'm going to enjoy this voyage.
That was an excerpt from The Sea Wolf. Another of the books we recommend you to read, especially during the next half hour.
Meanwhile, for those who can't read, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Sapper Stitchmore, the Honorable Agnew Counterblast, Wedgwood Nip, Miss Winifred Watchmaker.
We didn't have a good time with her.
To continue, Con Macaroni, Sir Farley Blenkinsop Capone, and of course, Mr. Kenneth Hall, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Hall!
Well, good evening. Welcome to Beyond Our Ken. And first, I should like to thank you for all the letters that you write. One this week was from a listener who said he never misses our show. The letter actually reads,
Dear Kenneth Horn, I haven't heard your show for weeks and I never miss it.
We were all deeply touched. However, let me as usual tell you some of the things I did last week. On Monday, I popped over to the police force of the White City, particularly fascinated by the main event of the evening. Six policemen in different colored helmets chasing an electric burglar. On Tuesday, I had to get to the library because my wife insisted on my taking back the book I was reading. She said she just wouldn't have books like that about the house. It was called How to Be Master in Your Own Home. Wednesday, I was going down to the high street when a ragged old tramp asked me for money. I gave him every penny I had on me. Well, I just couldn't refuse his honest and forthright approach. I think it was the way he said,
Your money or your life.
Thursday, I went to bed early, but I had a very restless night. I dreamt I was counting sheep and kept waking up. Friday was a day of surprising peace, and I'm glad to say the peace I surprised was rather pleased. However, on Friday evening, I've been invited to the midnight premiere of a new film by one of our promising young actors, Edmund Hart. Before the film, he took me to dinner at London's leading theatrical restaurant, The Creeper.
Chappies always late.
Hey there, Kenny. Yes, I am late. Right, here we go. Oh, don't think I've forgotten something.
Well, say, why are you putting those dark glasses on?
I don't want to be recognized. Come on. Good evening. The table for Mr. Edmund Harvey.
Certainly, sir. Who's for the meat?
You'd better have the dark glasses.
You're at table, sir.
Thank you, Luigi. We'll start with the soup.
Very good, sir. Would you care for a roll?
Let me see. No, I don't think I like that one. No, nor that one. No, thank you. Take them away.
Well, what's the matter?
Nothing. It's just these days it's so difficult to find a roll that suits me.
I say, Edmund, just look at all these celebrities here. That couple over there, isn't that Sir Northcote and Lady Lumpton?
So it is. My word, that mick must be worth a fortune.
Yes, and she's rather well dressed, too.
Quick, Horn! Get behind the menu. No, it's too late. He's spotted the
food.
That dreadful Grant Haversham is coming over. Just can't bear the sight of him. Hello, Grant. How nice to see you.
It's been about 10 years since we met. I don't think I'd have recognized you if it hadn't been for the suit.
Oh,
Grant, I see you've got a beard now.
Yes, I address my next part.
Really? What are you advertising?
It's for my new play. Come to the first night and be a friend, if you have one.
I'm afraid I can't do that, but I'll come to the second night, if there is one. By the way, this is Kenneth Horne, Grant Parrish.
How do you do? Now, tell us about this new play of yours.
Yeah, it's rather divine, really. At last, I found a play that really suits my personality.
What is it, The Wooden Horse?
In it, I play the part of a rather lovable old man who befriends a somewhat sensitive young boy and helps him find the way out of some very awkward situations.
What's it called?
The Big Ears Gets Nobby Out of Trouble.
Well, I suppose you'd call him one of the greats.
Yes, he does, rather. Oh, look, Kenneth, this would be interesting. Two film stars about to meet head on.
Oh, where?
Over there. Violet Haywood and June Limerick with their press agent. You just didn't.
Hello, darling. How nice to see you.
Hello, darling. How nice to see you.
Saw your last film. It was wonderful.
Saw your last film. It was wonderful.
We've done very well since you were Miss Ramsgate of 1951.
And you were Miss Scarborough of 1939.
1949, dear.
Sorry, darling, my mistake.
Mistake? You've done that deliberately.
No, dear, did that deliberately.
Sorry, you did that deliberately.
No, or never.
No, I didn't.
Well, one of us did.
Here comes Grant Parrish.
Hello, you two. Fancy seeing you both young. You're doing a film together.
No, we are just good friends. That's all.
Well, that was interesting, but you know, I've never seen those two in a film.
Oh, of course you haven't. They don't make films. They're far too busy opening tapes. Hello, there's another young lady coming to the table.
Yes, to know you.
Well, I wonder who it can be, you said with surprise. Good heavens, it's Pat Lancaster.
Hello, Ken. How nice to see you.
Oh, don't let's start that again. Sing, Pat.
Love is the bomb they carry. Love is not to worry, love is too hot to hurry. Love is the red hot candle. Love is a white hot scandal. Love is too hot to handle. Love is happy as a fan boy. It's the beat the band boy. Father, try and hold my hand, boy. Love is the sun-kissed flower. Love is the faith flower. Love is a flowing fountain. Love is a mighty mountain. Love is what don't come out in love. Love is a dream funny. Love is a pot of honey. Love is a lot of money. Love is.
I've been dying to ask you.
Well, go ahead.
No, I don't like you.
acting like a coward.
Oh, all right, then. Miss Lancaster, would you let me give you my autograph?
Certainly.
Now, I'll do better than that. Here's a signed photograph.
Well, let her look. Oh, good gracious, how young it makes you look. Lying there on your tummy on a bearskin rug. When was that taken?
Last week.
Eh?
Oh, only the head and shoulders, of course.
Well, thanks, Mr. Harvey. Bye, Ken.
Bye. Yes?
How would you like to meet one of England's most successful young playwrights?
Love to.
Well, now's your chance. Here she comes.
Excuse me, love, have you got a light? My cheroot's gone out.
Well, by all means, here you are.
Well, Ken, this is Miss Sheena Malarkey. Her first play has made her a fortune.
Well, congratulations. How do you like being rich?
Hey, it's lovely. I'm really enjoying a taste of money.
Perhaps you'd care to join us in a drink.
Yeah, I would that. I love a pint of Miles. That's the landlord if he's got any crisps.
Well, Sheila, how did you come to write this first play of yours?
Well, I happened to go and see a play once by some fellow called William Shakespeare. And I thought to myself, well, if I can't write a better play than that, then there's some at all.
And didn't you like Shakespeare?
No, I didn't. It weren't even proper English.
Was it?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, sorry, it wasn't.
No, it weren't.
Oh.
I wrote, I sat down there and then I wrote it. Had it finished the closing time. Sent it straight off to workshop.
Oh, yes, the theatre workshop.
No, carpenter's workshop. They acted it about a bit and put in some vice. And Bob's your uncle, it was a great success.
Yes, well, I believe it. Isn't it full of lust, greed, and sex?
Aye, it's just a simple tale of country folk.
I say, Kenneth, just look at the time. We'll be late for the film premiere.
Oh, are you going to that?
Yes, we are.
Oh, take me in with you, will you?
Well, if you like, but why?
Well, it's a certificate X.
Well, personally, I must. I'm quite looking forward to it. They say it's even more angry than Look Back in Anger.
What's it called?
Look out, I'm living. It's the story of a frustrated young man who thinks the whole world is against him.
Sarah, where is Jeremy?
No, dear, I think he received a letter with some bad news this morning. The last I saw of him, he went outside with a gun.
Sarah, you don't think he...
No, dear, nothing like that. He said something to me about getting the postman.
I tell you, I'm worried about that boy. He does nothing all day long but stay in his room and play darts.
Well, a lot of young men do that.
Yes, dear, but not poison darts. I'm beginning to think something's upsetting him.
Now, there you are, Jeremy. Have a good day, dear.
Question. All the time, question. Why can't you leave me alone? Why did one pick on me? Oh, what a cruel place this world is. It makes me seize.
My boy, what are you so angry about?
I don't know, Father. And that's what makes me so angry.
Jeremy, dear, now come along and have a nice spoonful of gripe water.
Must you always treat me like a child? It's no good. I'm stifling in this atmosphere. I've just got to get away from it all. I'm leaving home, you hear? I'm leaving home!
We'll close the door after you.
I knew you'd try to stand in my way. But I'm going.
Forever?
Maybe even longer. Goodbye.
Don't worry, dear. He'll be back.
Is he?
Please.
Ah, tickets. Ah, tickets, meaningless
find you guilty of traveling without a ticket and sentence you to a fine of 30 shillings.
I couldn't stand that. And what's more, you're a worthless piece of blossom, your honor. You're a rotten, vicious, cruel, horrid, nasty, a degenerate product of this so-called civilization.
Well, nobody's perfect. Next case.
Christabel, thank heaven for you. I'm glad we met. You're the only one who understands me. The only one I feel I can trust. The only one who ever listens to me. Don't interrupt. Time, frustration, and betrayal. It makes me bitter, I tell you. Bitter, bitter, bitter.
You are so three bitter.
You keep out of it.
As it's your birthday today, Jeremy, I bought you a present.
Nobody has to give me anything.
But I know you just love me. Here, take
it. Oh, well, if I must, I must.
People who always have a soothing influence and win many friends with musical numbers such as Blow the Man Down. So here are the Fraser Hayes Four. Life in ships. And your name, sir?
Able Seaman Stanley Birkinshaw. of the SS 42.
Yes. How do you like the life at sea?
Oh, simply splendid. I find it so stimulating being at sea with a salty tang in your nostrils and the feel of the spray in your face.
Yes, I know what you mean. But, tell me, what job do you do?
Well, just at present, I'm a steward, but I used to be a stoker, first class. They insisted that I transferred.
Oh, why was that? Weren't you any good at stoking?
Oh, yes, but every time I shouted full steam ahead, I put the fire out.
And now you, madam, I believe you're married to a sailor. Do you like it?
No, I don't. No fun being married to one. You know, my husband hasn't been home for 6 years.
Yes, but surely that's to be expected of a sailor.
Yes, he's on the Woolwich Ferry.
Finally, let's have a word with someone who has just returned from an ocean cruise. Now, sir, would you tell us something about your experiences at sea?
Oh, no, no. No, no, don't ask me that. I don't want to bring that up again.
You didn't really enjoy it, then?
Oh, no, I didn't. I stayed in my cabin the whole trip.
I see. Then you wouldn't agree that ocean cruises are good for you?
No, I wouldn't. If you ask me, they're all bunk.
To be expected that in a seafaring nation such as ours, men have always found pride and pleasure in building beautiful ships. And to a shipbuilder, there's nothing more thrilling than that moment when his vessel is ready for her maiden voyage.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. What a wonderful day this must be for you.
Well, Robert, there she is. Isn't your beauty?
My word, yes. What exquisite lines, and how majestic she looks afloat.
Yes, I must say, she's absolutely a ship shape.
Oh, you are aware. What are you going to call her?
I've been keeping it a big surprise. I shall call her the SS Rodney Taylor.
Oh! Oh, Charles, I'm honored. It's not every day I have a boat named after me.
Oh, Rodney, I only hope she lives up to her specifications, but this trial run will soon show any weaknesses in the construction.
Yes, it must be a frightening moment for you. I mean, what on earth do you do if it should break down?
Simple. And just wade into the pond and bring her.
Yes, Britain is indeed a seafaring nation, proud of its great naval heritage. Let's now pay tribute to those legendary names that have made naval history. Could they but speak now? Hood.
My life was the sea.
Raleigh.
Got a fag on your mate.
Hawkins.
I hope you like my last picture.
Nelson.
Not my pigeon.
Rodney.
Hello, Charles.
And, of course, Drake.
Hello, my darling.
Yes, we are indeed proud. Oh, yes, I'm sorry, I forgot. Hornblower. Finally, let us consider the shipwrecked mariner. One of the most popular yarns of life at sea that the sailor tells is of being shipwrecked on a desert island with a beautiful girl. But does it always happen like this?
Oh, thank goodness. Safe at last. Oh, what a hard swim that was. Still here I am at last on this beautiful desert island. The first thing I must do is find myself a pretty little native girl.
Andrew.
Oh, lummy. me dream shattered. How did you get here, you old faggot?
I clung on to your faces, Andrew.
No wonder I had to go on swimming.
Oh, Andrews, isn't it romantic, darling? You and I being washed up together on the desert island.
Oh, we were washed up years ago.
Andrews, it was very clever of you to find your way to this place.
Yes.
How did you do it?
I just followed the seabird.
Oh,
without him, I couldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Thank heavens for little girls. Oh, little girls.
No, Andrews, dear, we must face facts. What are we going to do now that we're shipped? Best on the desert island.
Don't say you forgot to bring the gramophone.
Yes, Emerald, I'm afraid I did. It was all I could do to manage the gramophone.
Yeah, look. A footprint in the sand. It's Monday.
Yes.
And that footprint tells us one thing. This island is inhabited.
Oh, dear.
You stay here and light a fire, and I'll go and have a scout now.
Don't leave me alone, Ambrose. Ambrose, come back here.
You're right, darling. I found a board with some writing on it.
What does it say?
Welcome to the Isle of Wight.
Well, there you are. This is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with another thought from the listener. Do postmen carry out orders for the last letter? Good night. You might be listening to, or have just missed, Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show which gave employment to Kenneth Horne and also to Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Patricia Lancaster, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Review Orchestra conducted by Harry Rabinowitz. The script, believe it or not, was written, and letters of complaint should be sent to Eric Merriman and Barry Took. However, the onus must inevitably fall on our producer, Jake Brown.